as we come together on this evening, continuing to worship God in spirit and in truth, thanking Him for all that He has done for us on this wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Amen. On this evening, we are going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Brother DeMille and I both were scratching our heads, I do believe, as he was reading that. We were supposed to be going to the end of the chapter, but I failed to give him those other few verses there. So that's my bad, Brother DeMille. But we're going to read the other right now at this time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we read from verse 9 down through 12. This morning, I mentioned the other two verses, or actually the other two verses. So we're looking at those two verses at this time. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whether good or evil. On this evening, we are going to look at the topic, in the days of your youth, from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, considering the fact that you are getting old. You are getting old. And this morning, I was talking with someone. Actually, I was ear hustling. I was in their conversation, and I was filling in some words in which they were searching for. And as we were talking, I mentioned this to that individual, and I told them this is what we were going to be talking about tonight. You are getting old. I believe that we sometimes, and thinking about Brother Lewis and his prayer on last week, reference to us being forgetful about some things. And he mentioned about he himself as being old and forgetting some things. He was one of them. I believe that, and I mentioned that many times, is not a matter of getting old when we forget things. We all forget things from time to time. Amen. And we know that there are some that go through things and through times in life where their mind is just not what it used to be. And I heard a person say about 30, 35 years ago, I have forgotten more than you will ever learn. And in some cases, that's right. There are some people that have spent many, many days in God's Word, or many, many days in this world, and have forgotten more than some would ever learn. I listen to a person from time to time and say, they say, I just can't remember the way I used to remember. And that's okay. For when we think about God's Word, and we can pick it up and we can find what we're looking for, because we have an idea that is there, and we keep searching and searching until we come across what we're looking for. That's the good thing about God's Word. That's the best thing that we can ever have is God's Word, that we can go back and we can look for what God has put there in order for us to understand what we need to be and who we need to be. And so we go back up to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we start with verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we start with verse 1. Solomon writes here, as he closes out the book of Ecclesiastes, the great preacher Solomon. You know, we hear people from time to time and say, you know, you need to measure yourself by this preacher or by that preacher. This is one of the greatest preachers right here, Solomon, a man full of wisdom. You ever heard anyone say that you need to measure yourself by Solomon? The Bible says there were none like him before, and there is not one like him afterwards. Not considering our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's out of the picture right here. But Solomon, a great preacher, a man of full of wisdom, he wrote, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors of the street are shut. When the sound of the grinders is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. I want us to consider the words that Solomon penned here. The words in which each one of us from time to time have pondered in our minds. You find young people. He says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. There are times in a young person's life where they're thinking about this and they're thinking about that. They're thinking about going out into the world and enjoying themselves. And then you have that person that is considering where they would spend their eternity. That person that considers doing the things that God would have them to do. And when they ponder these things, when they consider these things, they say, I want to be of service of the Lord while I am young. I want to do the things that are right. Listening to the words of Solomon, because all that Solomon has said right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, reference to this old body, is coming to pass in many of our lives. We're looking at these things and we're examining these things and we have talked about and we've laughed about others that have gone through these things and we've said, look at him, look at her. Then we go home and we look in the mirror at ourselves. And we say, I am falling in that same category. And some can look back on their lives and say, I have gloried in the Lord. At a young age, and I am still going to do what he requires of me until that day when it says the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the ground. We think about that and we are still in service of the Lord. We're still doing the things that we're supposed to do. Have you ever seen that person that when he or she picks up something and their hand is shaking out of control? When it's hard for them to pick up something and actually do what they have done in times past with by picking that thing up. And in verse 3 again, he says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, they tremble. We know that there are certain people that have certain sicknesses in their life, certain diseases in their life. And it causes their hands to tremble. But this person may not have a sickness. It may be just because of the age that he or she is. And they are trembling at the hands, the keepers of the house. But yet they're still going about trying to do the very best they can in order to keep things in order in that house. But that's part of living, is it not? That this body, again, grows old. Brother Thanopoulos, he prays and he mentions that in his prayer that this old body, it decays, it grows old. But there is something else that we can look forward to. We can look forward to that time that we will have in heaven where we don't have to worry about our hands trembling. Or we don't have to worry about what it says there as we continue. And the strong men are bent. When their legs have begun not to hold them the way they used to hold them. Yet they're still moving. They're still trying to get from point A to point B. I heard someone say something reference to a person that was walking with a cane, and they looked at that person. They said, they need a walker or they need a wheelchair. And I was thinking in my mind that it really wasn't none of my business to say anything, but I was thinking, leave them alone. Let them continue the way they're continuing, because at least they're moving. But that day may come where that person may skip the cane, and they may go directly to the wheelchair or directly to somewhere where they cannot move at all. See, we need to consider those things. We need to think about that person, but yet we need to consider our life and what we're going to go through as we live. And he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. That appetite or that eating is not like it used to be, because we do not have the teeth that we used to have, and we don't really have a desire to eat certain things because we do not have those grinders. Yeah, you can go down to the store and to the dental clinic and you can purchase some more, but sometimes it's just not the same. You know, dentures are not made to be permanent in some cases. In some cases they are. Say, we can give you some implants, so we can permanently put them in there and you don't have any problems with food getting up under them. See, I haven't experienced that yet. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be able to hold on to the few teeth I have, and I'll continue to have the appetite that I have now. Be able to eat a piece of steak without having to worry about my grinders coming out. But there are some people that have that problem. But that's, again, that's life. That's what the Bible teaches us, reference to this old body. See, these things that we have, these hands, these legs, this back, these eyes, this mouth, these ears, these things are made part of the body, but yet there's time in our lives where these things just give up. They cease to operate the way they operated when we were young. But yet, we still move forward and continue to do the things that God wants us to do. He says, as we continue there in verse 3, coming down again, it says, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through windows are dim. You see me get up here from time to time, and I pick up these things and I put them on, and I tell you that sometimes if you're not sitting on these first three rows, I can't see you because these are readers and they're not lookers. Now I can take them off and I can see Brother Brown in the back. Wave at me, Brother Brown. He's waving with his left hand. I had to see get my left and my right together. See, they're not so dim that I can't see where he is. But there may be a time where they're so dim that I have to put these on to see him back there and realize that, yes, that is Brother Brown. But the Bible does teach us that our eyes will get dim, and y'all can't see anything, can you? I have no idea why. Oh, there we go. Y'all thought I was dim. We're going to come back to this in just a moment. But we look at these things and we consider these things. And we understand again that God's word is true. But he continues there and he says, and the doors on the street are shut. We're not able to go out and sit on a porch, Brother Shelton, and yell at people the way we used to, because our mouth is not able to voice those words the way they used to. We cannot make those sounds that we used to. In some cases, we say, that's good. I'm glad that he or she can't talk anymore. But that person misses that. That person longs to speak words, but yet they cannot. They're moving their lips from time to time, but there's no sound coming out. But they're trying. They're trying. They're not giving up. And that's the way it should be. We should not give up. We should continue to strive on, because we have not yet gone back to the dust of the ground. Let's keep living the way God wants us to live. And it says, when the sound of the grinding is low, again, going back to losing your teeth and then coming here and you're not eating as much as you used to eat, that sound is not there anymore. Because there you are, your appetite is just not there because you are getting to that point in life where you just want to give up. You say, he or she is not eating. They don't have an appetite and they're just fading away. We've seen that happen to people. You try to give them something to eat and say, I'm not hungry. You try to give them some supplement and say, here, drink this because you need to keep up your strength. And they say, I'm not interested in it. We know what happens when the body does not get that substance that it needs in order to move on, and that drops down to those verses where we talk about the silver cord is snapped. But we have to consider, again, this is life. We're not created to live forever. We were not created to live forever. Yes, Adam and Eve, if they had not ate of that tree that was in the midst of the garden, they could have lived forever, but God put them out of the garden. But he said, just in case they eat from the tree of life and live forever, they were put out of the garden. So yes, in the beginning, man was created to be with God throughout all eternity in the garden. But remember, from the foundation of the world, there was a plan. There was a plan. Because of the sin of man, we die. We die. 70 and 10. Perhaps maybe an extra 10 added on to that. And we know that people are living past the age of 80 now. 90, 100 years old. And you look in the paper and say, here the oldest person is living right here. And here's a number. And then next year you see, well, this person has, you know, surpassed that number. This person is dead, but there's someone else that has surpassed that number. We really don't know how long we're going to live. But we have to be prepared for that day. Amen. Because that day is coming. That day is coming. And he says, when the sound of the grind is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, what's that noise? I don't hear anything. I did. What's that noise? The littlest noise disturbs us when we're trying to sleep. Tell our kids, you know, you heard your parents say, you know, cut that noise out. And you're like, they heard what I said? I can't believe they heard me. But they was in there sound asleep. But that little noise, you in there sneaking in the kitchen trying to get something to eat, and you startle that person. That's what old age does for us. That's what it does for us. And some need to say, I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to stay faithful to God when that day comes. And he says, as we look at it, and he says, and the daughters of Sodom are brought low. Brought low, the hearing. You can't hear the way you used to hear. But yet that little noise startles you. But yet your hearing is still gone. I remember my sisters and one of my cousins, and my mom was along with this as well. They played a dirty joke on me. I was in the military, and I would go home at least once or twice a year to visit the family. And I was sitting there and talking to my grandmother, which was well in her 70s. And as I was talking to her, and I believe she was really engaged in another conversation or looking at television or something. And they said, she can't hear as well as she used to, Junior. And so here I am sitting there raising my voice, talking to her, trying to get her to hear what I'm saying. And as I was talking louder to her, she was talking louder to me and everybody else in the background laughing. I'm like, what y'all laughing about? They say, she can hear well. She can hear well. But there's that time that comes in our lives where we can't hear as well as we used to. But yet we are still living. We're still doing the things that God wants us to do. But he says this as we think about it, and they are afraid of heights or what is high, and the terrors are in the way. They're afraid to get up on a stage like this sometime because they're afraid they're going to fall down or climb up on a ladder to change a light bulb because they're afraid they're going to fall down. But I know some people that still think that I can do those things, but I remember the day I fell off that ladder. And I'm just not comfortable with getting up on that ladder anymore. I can do it, but I'm just not comfortable. Truth be told, they are afraid to get up on that ladder because they don't want to fall. They're afraid that they may fall and break a bone. And we know that as you get older, it takes longer for the bones in our body to heal, to mend. None of us, I don't care how old you are in this room, we are not as young as we used to be. Not one of us. We're growing older as the day goes by. We're growing older. There are troubles that are going to come into our lives, and we have to be ready for them. We have to prepare our minds for them. Yeah, oh, I can't live like this. You know what the alternative is, right? You'll live like this or else. So we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep doing the things that God wants us to do. And he says that they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. They're not, you know, as bold as they used to be. Oh, yeah, I can handle that. I can go out there. I can conquer that. No, there are some things that they're afraid to do. Why? Because they don't think that I'm going to be able to survive those things anymore. I don't have the courage that I used to have. Yes, I could go out there and I could jump into Ohio and I can swim to the other side as a young man. But as you get older, you say, I can go out there and jump into Ohio and then I can climb right back out. That's the way life is. And it's okay. We should not be saying that I can do the things that I used to do when I was younger. I was listening to the news when they was talking about President Bush and the things that he did in his old age, how he was skydiving at a very old age. You know, he had the courage to do some things that young people wouldn't do. Why jump out of a perfectly good helicopter or a perfectly good airplane? There are some people that have the courage to do that. And others, when they get old, they say, you know, I got a bucket list, and it is not to jump out of an airplane. So we need to understand that we need to know our limitations. And we need to do the things, again, that are right. And then he says, as we continue, and the terror's in the way, the almond tree blossoms. The almond tree blossoms. Our hair began to turn gray. Some of our hairs anyway. Some don't have any hair to turn gray. But others, your hair began to turn gray. And the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. The things that we longed to do when we were younger, that the drive that we had to go out and to enjoy ourselves with our spouses or whatever we desire to do, it says right here, those things will fail. They will fail. But yet we're still living. We still have time to live for God and do the things that are right. So I want you to look at what we have here as we talk about these different things from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember. Have you ever told someone that? You remember when? Remember when what? You know how old I am now? You talking about remembering something way back in the day? Some of our minds are better than others. We can remember when we were 2, 3 years old. I don't know how you all remember that, but some people remember that. I remember, yeah, when Mama did this to me when I was 3. I go back as far as kindergarten. Actually, I don't even think I went to kindergarten, so let's just say first grade. I go back that far. Whatever happened before first grade, I really can't remember. But first grade, I remember. How the teacher told my mom that, you know, your son, he's a good student. Oh, he did well in school. Yes, he would have made it to the second grade if he wouldn't have erased this one problem. That was a lie. That one problem did not hold me back. What held us back, and I'm saying us because it wasn't just me that was held back, it was integration. School had just integrated back in 1970. And every black child in the first grade was retained. I've told you that story before. Every black child in the first grade was retained at that school. I remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember going through school all the way to my 12th grade year. I remember being told you're not going to be able to walk across the stage with your classmates because you do not have enough credits. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember other things in my life, but I want us to understand that as we talk about remembering, it is merely rehearsing things in our minds. We can't go back and change those things. Now, we can better ourselves by remembering some things, but we can't go back and change anything.
in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 2, starting with verse 1 coming down. It says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up in your sincere mind by the way of reminder." I'm stirring up in your minds by the way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Remember. Remember. How far back can you remember? Can you remember the day that you were added to the body of Christ? Can you remember that? I know some have to go back further than others, but can you remember that? Or do you have to go back and ask someone, "Was I actually baptized?" If you don't remember, if you were baptized, you know what you need to do, right? You want to be a Christian. You need to come down this aisle and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to be immersed in the water of your baptism if you have to go and ask somebody if you were baptized or not. Now, I'm talking to the people that are in their right minds now. Because we have some that have lived faithful lives and they just can't remember the way they used to. And that's okay. God is all right with that. But if you're of sound mind and you cannot remember whether or not you were baptized for the remission of your sins or not, you, my friends, you need to go back and look at the scriptures. You need to go back and study God's word and you need to become a member of the Lord's church. And I just said sound mind. Because our bodies are not as sound as they used to be. And that's okay. That's okay. Going to Luke chapter 17 and the verses 2. Luke chapter 17 and the verses 2. Keep these thoughts at the forefront of your mind in all that you do. They should be a constant reminder. A constant reminder. See, we need to continue to instruct people in God's word so that they may understand what they need to do in order to be pleasing unto God. Luke chapter 17, verse 2. "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." We need a reminder from time to time not to cause someone to sin. That we live our life and let them live their life. Encourage them to do the things that are right. Encourage them to stay strong to God's word. Continue to instruct our youth in the things in which they need to do in order to be pleasing to God. You're laughing at them. One day, you too will be old. You too will be old. Galatians chapter 2 and the verses 10. Galatians chapter 2 and the verses 10. It says, "Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do." Remember the poor. Can we remember someone that needs help? I laugh to myself from time to time about how when disaster strikes, everybody joins forces in order to help out these people. But when that disaster is over, we forget about them. Some people still need help, although the storm is gone. Although that they have not rebuilt, they still need help. Or this time of year, and I was really laughing today when they were taking all these presents out of these vehicles by the bags and by the box loads, and they was putting them into this place, torch for tots, and I was just laughing. You're giving them all these things this time of the year. You're giving them some type of false hope about this person that has come in order to be good to them. And you tell them about the story of Jesus Christ, but after this season is over, you forget about them. You know, it really gets next to me when we receive that phone call and someone say, "Are y'all doing Thanksgiving baskets? Are you all doing Christmas baskets?" I'm thinking, what are you going to do New Year's? Have you ever had that call, "Are y'all doing New Year's baskets?" Haven't had that call either. Or Valentine's baskets. You know, people are hungry throughout the year. Amen. Quit throwing away your money on all these things at one time of the year. And remember that tomorrow you're going to have to eat if you're still living. Next week you're going to have to eat if you're still living. I went through that time in my life, you know, when I put a lot of emphasis on man-made holidays. And I spent a lot of money. And I go back and say, if I had that money. But really I don't go back and think about that because it's gone. I can't go back and change that. But what I do is I remember. I remember. And we find in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the verses 8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The offspring of David as preached in my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. See, this is what we need to, you know, stress to people right here this time of the year. Remember Jesus Christ not as an infant wrapped in swaddling clothing, but remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. This is not just this time of year, but this is all year that we remember what he did for us. That he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. That he was buried and raised up on the third day to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father. In some instances, the Bible says, as we read not too long ago, as Stephen looked up and saw the Son of God standing by his right hand. We need to remember that. We need to remember. Remember. And we find, as we think about it, remember to remind people in Romans chapter 15, verse 15, to remind again and again, repetitious. See, sometimes we need this. We need a constant reminder. Anita and I, you know, we both are the same age right now, 54 years old. From time to time, she would say, remind me to do this or do that. And I say, who's going to remind me? You know what I do? I send myself a text message. What I need to do. And I sent myself a text message the other day and I forgot. I just remembered what I need to do. And I'm going to do that as soon as I finish, not the sermon, but as soon as we get out of service. And when we're in the back of the room, I want someone to remind me, did you do what you need to do? And I'm going to say, hopefully I say, yes, I've done it, or I'm getting ready to do it. But we need a reminder, to remind again and again. And what do we do from time to time, Brother Mark? What do? I don't need you to remind me. We need that reminder. Brother Demel, we need our spouses sometimes to remind us of things that we said that we would do. And in turn, we need to remind them. You remember when you said you was going to do this, but yet you have not done it? That's because no one reminded them. See, we need a reminder, and we should not get mad when people remind us of the good things that we need to be doing. Romans chapter 15, and the verse is 15. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God. By way of reminder, I'm not nagging at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to push you, but just by way of reminder, I want you to know what you said you was going to do. When you came down the aisle and you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you were immersed in the water of great baptism, I want to remind you what that meant or what that means. That means that you said that you would live for Christ. That you would be an instrument in order to bring others to Christ. We need that reminder. And we need that reminder on a regular basis. We partake of the Lord's Supper as a reminder of what Jesus went through. We do it because that is what we're supposed to do. And we do it when? Up on every first day of the week. That is constant. A reminder time after time after time what Jesus went through. And we should never forget that. Because we do it the way we're supposed to do it. Then we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Now, why do we need these reminders again? Because we're getting old. We're getting old. So we need these reminders. You know, those young people, you go to them and you ask them, did you do what I told you to do? And a lot of times we just walk through and say, man, they already did that. They were right on top of it because that mind is fresh. They're ready. They're just, you know, everything is clicking the way it's supposed to click, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. Man, I have a good child right here. That you don't have to remind them to do anything. They get up. They make their bed. I hope all you young people are hearing that. And we only have about two or three in the audience, but I hope you're hearing that. You get up in the morning. You make your bed. Your mom, dad shouldn't have to make your bed. You don't need to be reminded to make your bed. You go, you do your homework, you do those things because you know it's right. Because you are looking forward to doing some other things. So remember to do what you're supposed to do. That's just a friendly reminder to you.
But we look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 6. It said, if you put these things before the brothers, you would be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. That you have followed. Just a friendly reminder that Paul is writing to Timothy right here. A friendly reminder. Let me go back and get that letter that you wrote to me, and let me see the things in which you said. I need to be reminded from time to time. And that's exactly what we do sometimes. We write notes to ourselves in order for us to remember some things. We post them on the mirrors in our bathrooms, in the mirrors in our bedrooms. We post them on our refrigerators because that's the place we go most of the time. We post them on our door as we're getting ready to leave. Remember to pray. In the military, they have this full-size mirror on the door, and you look at yourself as you're getting ready to leave to remind you that you need to be dressed right dressed. You need to have your uniform in order. It's just a reminder, that's all. And we need that, do we not? We look at it and say, pay strict attention to God, to consider all He says and with the intention of obeying. That's why we look at His Word. We don't just pick up His Word and say, man, this is a good book. This is the bestseller. Man, I'm glad I read it. No, you pick it up in order to do the things that God has commanded you to do. Amen. To allow Him to influence and control our decisions and conduct. Amen. I don't need anyone to influence me to do what's right. We need God. Amen. I mentioned last week that He does not need us. We need Him. We need Him. We need a reminder. We need a reminder. Remember the youth. Remember their future life purpose. Why are you here? That question was asked to us many, many years ago. Why am I here? What do we say? The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandment. Remember your future health. That is going to fail. I've gone through life for 54 years without ever having to go to the emergency room until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I had to go to the emergency room. I was like, baby, I got to go. And I went to the emergency room and been going to the doctor ever since. Man, I tell you, my brother used to say, you know, you never know what's wrong with you until you go to the doctor. That's why I don't go. Well, a lot of us need to go to the doctor. I've stood before you and I told you that the doctor say when I go and visit him, you don't have this wrong with you, you don't have that wrong with you. And I say, well, just let me send you my little copay in and you just, you know, I don't come in to visit with you. You just take that copay. But I'm not saying that anymore. I'm going to go to the doctor the way I need to go to the doctor. And that brother, turn the light on him. Man, the eternal destiny of their soul. We need to remember the eternal destiny of their soul. We need to remember that. He's talking about the youth, but we need to remember the eternal destiny of our soul, that one day we are going to die. One day we're going to die. Man. Remember all these things. Please remember all these things. Because life, it goes on. But the body, it fails. It fails. Let us remember to do the things that God wants us to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 again. The whole conclusion. Let us hear it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Read it to me. Excuse me, let me hear God's word. What is the duty of man? To fear God and to keep His commandments. To fear God and to keep His commandments. For He's going to do what? Bring every work into judgment, whether good or whether bad. We are going to give an account of the life in which we lived. Amen. Are you prepared to die? That civil cord to be broken, the vessel to be broken at the cistern, or are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready? That day is coming. That day is coming. I hope that You have looked at your life and you have said, I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm going to be that person that God wants me to be.
And I'm going to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And when I die, I'm looking forward to that day of judgment where I can hear, enter in my good and faithful servant. Don't have to worry about this ears going dull in this life. But in the end, you're going to hear what God wants you to do. Either enter in or depart from me. You're going to hear that. You can't speak right now, but in the end, you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You may not be able to get on your knees right now, but in the end, you're going to get on your knees and you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why not do it now in this life than to be disappointed come judgment? The opportunity is yours if you're not a member of the Lord's church to become a member of the Lord's church. Making that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being immersed in the water of great baptism. Maybe you're strayed away from the fold. We want you to come back. We want you to come back. Why? Because you're getting old. You're getting old. And tomorrow is not promised. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.